This is exactly right.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 premieres Monday, May 13th on Exactly Right. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
To my favorite.
I don't want to do that anymore.
All right, we'll never do that again. Let's never do it again. Hi, this is my favorite murder, the minisode episode.
That's right. You send us your stories, hometown murders, weird people that you've experienced as a child, weird people your grandparents experienced as grandparents.
Shit you fucking found on the street.
In a garbage.
In the walls of your house that's being torn down.
All of it.
Shit you found in your brain when you were picking through it with your therapist.
That's right.
You know.
Please no fictions.
No.
That's
never.
That's for your fan fiction website. we want the real stuff.
Yeah.
It's key.
Yeah. Unless we don't know that it's fiction. I mean, how will we know? Hold on real quick. The microphone's falling off of the table. Shit.
Mm. Yes. We finally something talking. Happening.
Action, adventure.
And Steven shoots over from his sitting Indian style position over on the floor, and suddenly he's there screwing in screws,
and then I'm
this
holding
is like
it up.
Highly technical and yet coffee table based microphone system,
and we're back.
I was there the whole time.
You were in it.
Fucking seamless patter.
Narrating.
Just making it clear to everyone.
Navigating. Hey, right. Why don't you go first? Oh, yeah. I knew. Okay. All right. I'm ready.
For fun.
For funs and giggles.
For funs and giggles.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to... This is if something I've found, but I'm not going to read you the... listen. Here it is.
Spoilers look?
Yeah, but okay. They tell you pretty quickly. Okay. Right. Hi, everybody. My wife and I are emailing to tell you about the weirdest thing we have ever found. An arm off the coast of Japan last summer. Oh, it's called Found. A Human Arm is the
fuck.
Title.
So good, just, good withholding that.
Right?
Until the big, yeah, reveal.
My wife, Angela, and I were stationed with the military in Northeast Japan for 2 years. We loved taking our dog to the Pacific coastline and loved to walk on the elevated seawall that was erected after the devastating tsunami in 2011.
Wow.
The seawall was roughly 20 feet above the waterline. It was surrounded by concrete wave breakers. The wall provided a nice barrier, blah, 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 blah. Occasionally,
you nice would... Nice barrier.
Ocean marina, etc. Occasionally, you would see a fisherman, blah, 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 blah.
So
there just weren't a lot of people there. Wall details.
Got it.
Etc. Anyways, as we were walking down the seawall, Angela looked down and saw a glove with a fucking human arm sticking out of it.
Oh no, a gloved arm.
Fish and worms were picking at it. It was an obvious Caucasian/Asian flesh, and even from 20 feet away, but we couldn't reach it. So naturally, we took a ton of...
Reaching out for the arm.
Reaching out for a disembodied arm.
Just a little further.
It's reaching back for you.
She's holding his jacket. He's leaning out. Sorry, is the arm in water?
And in a glove. Yeah. I think it's sticking. Okay, see, here's the thing. Now it says it sent pictures attached. And this is when I turned to Steven and said, oh my God, please, did you see them?
Yeah, it's like float. It's like almost like bobbing like a buoy.
Whoa.
Straight up and down?
Straight up and down in the
like,
water.
Oh, over here, over here.
Yeah,
hand.
Yeah. Like waving.
A arm bobbing buoy. Yeah, and it says attached, and I was like, I don't want to see those. And then you said you saw them, and I was like, are you okay, Steven?
I mean, the photo they took, they must have tried to ensure that it wasn't graphic, because you just see the glove part. You don't see anything else.
Okay.
So. But was it an upsetting glove?
Was it a menacing glove?
I mean, it looked like it was a glove like somebody was trying to cover up evidence, like they were trying to like protect like...
Oh, like a plastic glove.
Oh, a criminal glove.
Oh.
Yeah, like a gonna clean the dishes kind of glove.
Do you mean... dishwasher glove.
Oh, yes, like a hair dyeing glove.
Yeah,
too.
Or something like that.
Oh, did it have a long? It was didn't stop at the wrist. It went down.
Yeah, it went down.
Interesting. Oh, now I know exactly what you mean.
Interesting. Okay. We took a ton of pictures, thought about what Karen and Georgia would do, looked around for a body, and then ultimately we went home.
Good. Don't stick around for a body. Just if you see one in your purview, fine.
They looked around real quick. Yeah, no
don't
body.
Don't go into caves.
Goodbye. We would have called the cops to... This part's fucking funny. We would have called the cops to get someone to the scene, but outside of ordering sushi or beer, our Japanese was subpar at best, so we didn't call. And in all honesty, we knew it was our last night in Japan, and finding a body part just sounded like a lot of paperwork when all we wanted was a night of ramen and maybe a little karaoke before our flight the next morning.
You fucking asshole. American asshole.
Wait, but then the guilt settled in.
Oh. Nice.
We called the American police officers attached to our base and told them we found an arm. We reported to the station, wrote our statements, completed paperwork, and as predicted, ended up back at the scene with 8 Japanese cops, the military police, and a translator.
Whoa.
The translator told us a disfigured body or a porpoise was found earlier that day in the same location.
Oh no.
And then they write, since when are humans fucking mixed up with porpoises?
When they're burnt to death, when they've been skinned, when any number of horrible porpoise like disfigurements that just popped into my head.
Thank you.
Thank you.
In the meantime, the arm had drifted 50 meters, but it was still intact despite the marine life. The Japanese police formed the cutest human chain to retrieve the arm. Oh, that sounds scary. Once they determined it was a real body part, they made us leave the scene.
Oh, good.
To this day, we don't know the story behind the arm, but believe it was ultimately linked to the Yakuza, the Japanese mafia known for cutting off body parts. Stay sexy, watch your arms, and don't get murdered. See you in London in May, Katie, and Angela.
Oh, my God. That is... First of all, the idea that they were just like, we can't get involved with this paperwork.
I want ramen. I don't want
so
it.
So funny.
Which I understand.
I think a lot of people probably do that. Yeah. They're just like, oh, this is a thing.
Someone else will find this.
But the difference between a to-the-wrist glove and a almost-to-the-elbow, like, medical glove is such a huge... creepy difference.
You're up to some other weird shit altogether.
Is like that to me reminds, I guess, probably from the beginning of The Simpsons, where it's like, is somebody that handles nuclear rods getting killed by the Yakuza?
Well, I figured it would have been part of the tsunami, like how shit just always kept washing up, and even bodies washed up. Right?
Yeah, maybe,
but it doesn't sound like it.
I don't know.
Yeah,
it's. I mean, just like bobbing up and down.
Oh no!
Oh shoot! I just realized as we were talking about that, or as you were saying that, I always say how I just don't care about mafia crimes, like as an area of true crime.
Yeah.
Yakuza, real interested in the Yakuza.
Yakuza's a different story for you. Interesting.
That was Georgia's friendship voice when she pretends to care about what I'm talking about. So that's different then. You do like the Yakuza.
Something is wrong with me because that's my truly interested in my friends and stuff.
That was you being truly interested?
Yeah. What well, did I'm sorry, do wrong? I judged you. Was it my face?
No, I feel like it was like camera ready.
So that's what you give a shit about.
Yep.
Interesting. Tell me more
it
while
was
I fall asleep.
Oh. I'll go up here in this part.
So you went swimming this way. Tell me more about that. Okay.
I did go swimming. All right. Ready for this?
Yes.
My creepy dentist.
Okay.
I have to go to the dentist at 8 a.m. tomorrow.
Your hot dentist. 8 a.m.? That's too early.
Isn't it? I better brush my hair.
Teeth too.
Oh yes, teeth. I always forget that. Okay, hi Karen, Georgia, Steven, and animals. I started listening to MFM a few months ago and recently finished my binge of the entire back library, so now I'm limited to waiting for your new episodes each week. Wah. Hi.
Sorry.
I was inspired to finally write in with my hometown murder story thanks to Karen's dentist experience in this week's minisode. In stark contrast to Karen's handsome dentist, my childhood dentist was creepy as fuck.
Oh, no.
The dentist office was in the basement of a house.
No, don't do that.
Talk about your fucking long gloves.
Yeah.
That's a long glove situation.
Mm-hmm.
Super dark and creepy looking. So much wood paneling everywhere.
Oh, dear. Oh.
And he always wore these really old school dentist shirts that honestly reminded me of a bowling shirt.
What's a dentist shirt?
Oh, yeah.
I think it's those like cotton ones, either blue or white that like. Yeah, the collar's like, it looks like
Nehru a, almost.
What's the, what are the
mock
priests wear? Yeah.
Oh, a priest's collar?
I don't know.
That's right. You wouldn't know.
I wouldn't know.
We call them priest's collars all the time. Okay, I feel like I'll never forget what his mouth looked like.
Ew!
Because I had to stare up at his creepy face twice a year for my entire childhood, and then a few more times a year when he did my braces in high school. Fast forward to the summer of 2002, I just moved away to college and get a call from my mom telling me that my dentist shot and killed his wife in the dentist's office with a shotgun. The wife worked there too as the office manager, was always super nice, crazy. I had to wonder if the incident was a self-fulfilling prophecy because the dude's name was Dr. Rambo.
No.
No wonder I was creeped out by this guy my whole life. He was crazy and turned out to be a killer. He represented himself at trial.
Oh God.
After firing his lawyer, parentheses red flag, and he claimed that his wife was attacking him and that he acted in self-defense.
Yeah, right.
But he shot her in the back. So we're not laughing because someone got shot in the back.
Oh my obviously. God, no, that he's a fucking lunatic monster.
Yes, why would you go down that road to only prove yourself wrong?
Seriously.
So that is obviously BS. He was convicted and put in prison. From prison, he filed a civil suit against the family to gain possession of a weird list of personal items from the estate, including a wooden duck, a collection of ceramic horses, trumpet, and their wedding album. So bizarre.
Wow.
I hope one day I find a dentist handsome enough to make me forget about Dr. Rambo, wife killer. But to this day, every time I schedule an appointment, I think of him. Thanks for being the best podcast ever. And of course, SSDGM Chrissy.
Wow.
That's hilarious.
Don't go to any professional thing in a basement, unless it's a professional basement maker's basement that you're checking
and
out.
You don't go all the way down. You go to the top step.
Yeah.
You bend over at the waist. Yeah. You look around and go, thanks, great. And you haul ass back up those basement stairs.
Remember, like, maybe this was like an 80s thing, but like how a lot of hairstylists would be like, would have that in their house that like your mom would go to.
Like down to the basement to get their hair done.
That's what makes me think of that.
Yep. There was also a couple people in my high school whose parents had like rumpus rooms in the basement.
Yeah.
So one of the worst drunk party presentations I ever gave.
Presentation was. I love a professional drunk Karen giving a drunk presentation.
Well, I'm here, buddy. So
next up, we have Karen Kilgariff.
Hi, you know me.
She's gonna give a presentation.
Here's the presentation. I smoke cloves, and I try to kick someone.
So my favorite thing is like on TV is when people pretend to be drunk. So you doing anything you just did made me
Is that true?
Yeah, I can't. I don't care if it's the worst sitcom. I will laugh my ass off at some terrible actor who's pretending to be drunk.
It's my favorite thing to do. It just comes out.
I love fake drunk.
I spent so much time at Georgia. Can I tell you a secret? Just tell you a quick secret. I spent all my time like this. You shut up, Steven. Whoops, I spiked it. Sorry.
Okay, what was your best drunk presentation?
I can't remember. It ends in a blackout. I had a bunch of what they used to call cuckoo juice when I was in high school.
Cuckoo juice?
It's called cuckoo juice. It's called jungle juice.
What?
It's called, what's it? There's one called like the suicide or
Is
whatever.
Is that when they melt sherbet and put fucking vodka in or whatever?
Yeah, they basically mix Hawaiian punch and all the liquor in the parents' cabinet.
Oh, don't do
cabinet.
That.
So what would normally take four drinks.
Yeah.
Only takes one drink.
It's perfect. Like
a Long Island iced tea. Yeah. Very bad.
And you put on a, what does Vince call it?
It's not presentation. He
it's
doesn't
not
say
presentation.
My thing.
It's some fucking Vince word. That's so funny. A clinic. You put on a fucking clinic of how to be a drunk person.
Yep. Full on. I actually got it out of my system very early because this is the one where I got so drunk. Me and my friend, I've told you this story, but my friend Christine.
Yeah. And listen, Karen is a recovering alcoholic. We're not I'm not laughing at anything about this.
You gotta laugh.
It's just
I did it to
your
myself.
Stories, and I'm not like trying to make you feel bad in any way.
You can't. There's nothing left in there to feel bad. Like, I wish
I just love your stories.
I wish you could pull those heartstrings. They're gone.
I just love your stories. Okay, yeah.
I'll just say at this one, and this did happen. I had come out of the rumpus room in the basement. I saw my cousin Mike in the hallway. Uh-huh. The next thing I knew, uh-huh. I was pulling my face off of his white sweater and looked, and I saw my own eyes on his sweater. I had been crying on his shoulder in the hallway, and then came to and was like, what's going on? And looked down, and I'd cried my own eyes onto his sweater. And I was like, all right, see you later. And like, just tried to get away before he recognized that I had ruined his like Firenze sweater.
And forgot why you were crying.
Wasn't crying inside anymore. That experience had never happened.
Oh no.
Really a disaster artist. That was the same night that that party was. I really did it up all at once. And then me and my friend Christine went to my parents' house. We were supposed to be spending the night at her mom's house. Uh-huh. And I don't think her mom was supposed to be home. But instead, we told the girl who gave us a ride home to go to my parents' house. They were having a dinner party with my aunt and uncle.
Oh, no. Whose kid you had just cried upon?
No, different.
Okay, different one.
That was Mike and Giovanni. Not a blood relative, but his mom and my mom were best friends in high school.
Oh, so he was a cousin.
So he's my cousin.
Yeah.
But I realized as we were walking up the front door, oh, this is my house. So I turned to Christine and go, we're going to go in and we're going to run up the hall and go to my room. And I thought, and our dining room is like right by the front door. It's like ranch style. So we tried to do that. We just opened the front door and ran up the hallway and slammed my bedroom door. So then I'm positive I told you the story. My sister comes and opens my bedroom door.
Yeah.
Because she wasn't at the party we were at. And she's looking at both of us. And we're both laying on my bed, like laughing our asses off. And my sister goes, oh my God, you're so fucked. And then walks away. So then I was like, wait, why? And then I'm like, oh no, I'm at home and I'm really shit-faced.
Yeah.
And then my mom came in and I was like, my friend Christine did this thing that is straight out of a John Hughes movie. Yeah. I had those closet doors to my closet, like, pushed open like that. Yeah. And they were closed at the time. My mom opened the door and goes, oh no, you girls are so drunk. And my friend Christine puts her arm up like she's going to lean against a wall and goes, Karen's pretty drunk, Mrs. Kegler, but actually I'm okay. And then pushes the door open and falls into my closet. And it was so over the top.
It's too classic.
It's so, my mom started laughing and had to leave the room because she was trying to act mad. But we were like two girls doing a bit of being drunk.
I am never having a child simply because I do not ever want to have a teenager.
No. It's so dark.
We were the worst people.
The worst.
Well, I just watched Lady Bird and I was like, nope, pass. Aww. Hard pass on that one.
Don't ever want to have this.
Don't want myself in the future.
Yes, exactly right. You have to basically have a mirror of yourself that's giving you the shit you gave your mom.
Yeah. No.
Probably times 10.
Or just write a fucking movie about it Gerwig, which this is awesome. Let's see, wait.
Just win an Oscar and get out of your system and don't actually do it.
And then pay your mom back.
Mm-hmm. There's something about the sound of an old-timey cash register that really takes me back.
I know. It sounds like someone is about to hand me an ice cream cone, but it also sounds like we just sold some merch.
That's right. And if you're a Shopify user like us, you know that this sound means you just made a sale.
Shopify has helped millions of businesses sell their products online, but did you know they also offer the same support for brick and mortar stores?
From accepting payments to managing inventory, they have everything you need to sell in person. So give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify.
Shopify POS tracks sales across all your locations. That way, you'll always know what you have in stock and where.
They also provide reliable tech that fits your unique retail needs, like turning a tablet into a credit card reader.
And if you're looking to reach new customers, check out Shopify's marketing tools. They're easy to use, and they integrate with all social media platforms.
With Shopify, we have a powerful partner for managing our sales. And if you're a business owner, you can too.
Do retail right with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period today at shopify.com/murder. And here's the important note, that promo code is all lowercase.
So go to shopify.com/murder and take your retail business to the next level.
That's shopify.com/murder. Again, don't forget, the code is all lowercase.
Goodbye.
Georgia, have you ever been blown away by the most simple dish at a restaurant, like perfectly scrambled eggs?
Oh my God, yes, Karen. And then all I want to do is make that dish at home and eat it every day.
Well, you probably could, as long as you have the chef's secret ingredient, Made In cookware.
Made In was created to bring restaurant quality performance kitchenware to home chefs around the world.
For years, they've built their business by supplying restaurants and top chefs with high-end cookware. Some of Tom Colicchio's most treasured dishes at his restaurant Kraft are made in Made In.
Whether you're cooking for professional critics or just the critics you live with, your meals will benefit from the quality of Made In products.
Like their carbon steel cookware, it combines the best of both cast iron and stainless steel clad, so it's rugged enough for grills or an open flame. It's the MVP of summer cookouts and cook-ins. What I really love about Made In cookware is that it actually makes something like having a Memorial Day barbecue much more convenient, because you can keep everything on the grill. If you need to throw, say, a pan of garlic up on the top while you're grilling your steaks on the bottom, it's strong enough, durable enough to do that.
If you want to take your cooking to the next level, remember what so many great dishes have in common. They're all made in, Made In.
Save up to 25% this Memorial Day from May 18th through May 27th when you visit madeincookware.com.
That's M-A-D-E-I-N cookware.com. Goodbye. Hey, Karen, you know that feeling when you're stressed out and your heart starts to pound and your mind is racing?
I do. I know it well.
Well, while there's no cure for stress, therapy can help shape your response to it. And since May is Mental Health Awareness Month, there's no better time to try Talkspace.
When you sign up for Talkspace, you'll receive a personalized match with a therapist or psychologist, typically within 48 hours.
Forbes rates Talkspace as the number one online therapy platform, plus their licensed professionals are in network with almost all major insurance companies.
Once you meet your therapy goals, or if you want to cancel for any reason, Talkspace will provide you with a prorated refund for unused time. I feel like these days people understand the importance of therapy, but the difficult part is just taking that first step. It took me months to make my first therapy appointment. I was so scared. I had a lot of ideas in my head about it. And that's why I think Talkspace is such a good idea, because making it so approachable will just get you there sooner. Then you can actually get in there, figure out what you need, talk to an actual professional, and be on your way to solving some stuff that you might want to solve.
To celebrate Mental Health Awareness Month and the power of talking it out in therapy, Talkspace is offering our listeners $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80.
Go to Talkspace.com/MFM and use promo code SPACE80.
To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com/MFM and enter promo code SPACE80 and get $80 off your first month and show your support for our show.
That's Talkspace.com/MFM. Enter promo code SPACE80.
Goodbye.
Stephen fucking knocked it out of the park this week with the print-ups. So do you want to hear...
Yeah, these stories are insane.
...about finding something, finding cash under a tree, or about a ghost, or do you want to hear about... Let's see here. I'm going to read you this one.
Okay. I want a cash under a tree.
Cash under a tree?
I put my money under a tree. I buried my purse. You have to help me find my purse under the tree.
Buried it.
You have to help me find my purse. I didn't want anyone to touch my purse. So I buried it. You have to find it.
Hey, I don't remember which tree.
Why are there no trees at this party?
I could have sworn. Why are you crying now? Okay. Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for your podcast and for starting this wonderful MFM community. Thank you.
I mean, it really was our pleasure.
Our pleasure. I've been a longtime listener and fan of the podcast. I've always wanted to submit a hometown murder. However, I've never had a personal story matching a Minnesota request until now. Imagine my surprise when in Minnesota 60, you asked for stories about, quote, big piles of money you just kind of found.
Yeah.
Remember when you said that just so casually, or just big piles of money you just kind of found?
Who doesn't want to hear that story?
Well, that's exactly what happened to me during my junior year of high school.
What the fuck?
I grew up in Tucson, Arizona, and my friends and I used to hang out a lot at a park by our high school. One day, as I was walking in the park with my friends, I looked down and saw about 10 $50 bills on the ground.
Whoa.
I didn't believe the bills were real, and I felt like I was having an out-of-body experience when I reached down and picked them up. That happened to me when I was a little kid and found $100 on the ground. I was like, this can't be happening.
Did you? How old were you?
I was like 4 or 5. It was like one of my earliest memories.
Shit.
I reached down and picked them up. I took a few steps forward and saw a pile of about 10 more bills under a tree, and I picked them up too. I stuffed the bills in my bag, and my friends and I hid behind a dumpster to count the cash. I'm not sure why we thought a dumpster was the safest place at the time. It turns out I had picked up, ready for this? $1,100 in cash.
Ooh.
Just sitting under a tree.
Fuck.
Yeah. No brown paper bag or briefcase or drug blazer or anything. We walked around the park in a moral quandary about whether we should turn the money in and to whom. No way we were handing $1,100 to teen lifeguards at the lost and found.
No way.
Or if I should keep what was probably drug money. While we walked around the park, I could feel the money burning a hole in my bag. Then 3 hefty big men rolled out of a car and started scouring the ground. They made eye contact with me, and I swear they could see the money in my purse. I called the police right away and turned the money in. The police could not believe I would turn in the money. Honestly, I think they thought I was kind of stupid. But they booked it and told me that if no one claimed the money after 90 days, it was mine. My friends and I counted down the days, and about a month after I found the money, the police posted a notice in our local newspaper describing exactly where the money was found. 3 steps from the sidewalk, 2 steps to the left at the base of the first tree you see. We knew that anyone could read the description and claim the money as their own, so I gave up hope. Still, I went to the police station on the 91st day after finding the money, and lo and behold, it was still there.
No!
The police chief came out and thanked me for being a good Samaritan and handed me the cash. I kept it, and to this day, it's been the best $1,100 I've ever found.
Wait, she kept it and never spent it?
No, I don't know. Thanks for all you do. Stay sexy and don't get murdered. K. It's been the best $1,100 I've ever found.
That's so brilliant. Wow, what a, like, uplifting story that people didn't go and just take money that wasn't theirs.
Yeah, but also I bet the cops knew it was, like, drug money, so they're like, well, we're going to tell everyone exactly where it is, and whoever comes in here is a fucking drug dealer.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true, because
that's why
people,
no one claimed it.
Yeah, probably. Nobody's going to be that dishonest. Be like, and they're like, oh, we did a quick wipe, and it has cocaine all over it. Okay, this one, the subject line is, should I do... Okay, wait, I'm going to do this one.
Okay.
I'm going to withhold the subject line like you did.
Great.
For spoiler reasons. Okay. Hi, Fwends, Fwends.
All right, already off to a bad start.
I mean, simply unacceptable.
This must be a good one if you still chose it.
I'm still going.
It's got to be really fucking good.
I'm assuming it's a she, and I bet you she did it on purpose to bug me. But we're still going to go through with it because this story. So now we're in it.
Okay.
This story involves no death, sinkholes, or found items, but it's creepy nonetheless.
Okay.
Great start. 2 of my girlfriends and I went to see Suicide Squad again. Strike 19. just kidding. On Sunday afternoon when it came out. Wow. Day of. We were maybe 45 minutes into the movie when I went to the bathroom. When I came back, I noticed a pair of shoes beneath our seats as I started to enter the aisle. I stopped, looked at my friends and pointed down in confusion as I realized it was not just shoes, but a human being.
What?
They didn't know what was going on. I grabbed my cell phone and had a moment of thinking, okay, I'm either about to find a dead body or something bad is about to happen before I flipped the flashlight on. I flashed the light onto what was a full-grown man face down on the movie theater floor directly beneath us.
What?
Before I could say anything, he started to move out and acted as though he was grabbing his cell phone, and he mumbled something like, I lost my phone. I was just looking for it.
What?
As he stood up and then promptly bolted out of the theater.
Yeah.
We all looked at each other in utter disbelief. I sat back down with them and we had the longest what the fuck moment of our lives during Suicide Squad. My girlfriend said that she thought she had felt movement and something touching her while we watched.
Ew.
And she'd brushed it off, but now we freaked the fuck out. or now freak the fuck out. We immediately went to tell management. We had told an employee what happened, and he literally said, "Oh, that guy again."
Oh my God.
And grabbed a manager. The manager told us that this had happened before. Our minds were blown, and we ended up calling the cops to come hear our story and check in on the theater. They also gave us free movie passes.
Yeah.
As we did not want to go back in, not only because we were in shock, because we were shook, but also because Suicide Squad was one of the worst things they've ever sat through 45 minutes up.
They were kind of stoked.
Hilarious. Okay. We couldn't get the incident off our mind, so I ended up making a post about what happened on the subreddit for our city. It blew up with comments, making a local news station ask to report on the story. My girlfriend ended up meeting them outside the theater to do a short segment up for the evening news.
Whoa.
I also got comments with links about this exact thing happening in other theaters in the same city, and a link to a man's photo and history of arrest records for voyeurism. This dude has been arrested several times in the past for things like this, including hiding under a woman's bed in her fucking house while she hung out in there. He generally looked like a person I saw.
I don't want to know that happens.
He generally looked like the person I saw emerge from under our seats, although I couldn't be 100% sure because we were in a dark theater and it all happened so quickly. Mm-hmm. If I could go back in time, I would have jacked him in the face and made a scene so he would have fucking gotten caught. But at the time, I had no point of reference for what was happening because it's all capitals, so fucking weird. And I thought it might have been an injured person or something.
I mean, yeah, you can't, your brain can't wrap around that.
It's also, who would be that close to a movie theater floor?
That's what I was thinking too. Like, talk about unfamiliar crumbs and fucking stickiness.
How did he get up that fast when it is just pure goo down there?
Yeah, like he didn't stick to it.
Okay, so here's the end. I have no idea what's going on with this person now, but thank God nothing worse happened to us. I hope he has gotten help or can get the right help for that sort of thing before it escalates to something much more terrible. That's very true.
God.
Can you imagine if I hadn't gone to the bathroom and discovered him? Heebie-jeebies all over. SSDGMD.
What was he doing though? Like, you can't do like upskirt shots or anything like that down there.
But she, like, he may have turned. He may have been laying face up.
But looking at what? The bottoms of seats?
Well, maybe if their butts are sticking out the back of something. But, like, maybe he turned when he knew she was coming back because he knew it would look bad if he was facing up.
Oh, my God. It looks okay if he's facing down.
People put, like, baby diapers down there.
Do
and
they?
Stuff. My friend Danny was an usher in a movie theater, and he was like, I found a full diaper in there on the ground one time.
No.
So.
Stop it, people.
I mean.
Any others that have to be read? How about one more?
Yep.
How about. Listen, these are all really funny today, aren't they?
Aren't
they? I'm not going to tell you the name of this one because it's really... Okay. Hey, Karen, Georgia, Steven, and associated non-human creatures.
Mm-hmm.
I've been waiting with this story for ages because it's just weird enough that you would appreciate it, but it's not murder. I'm so glad that hometowns have been opened up to just general weirdness.
I think it's a good
idea. Is there a murder in this one?
Yeah.
Which one?
The dentist.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
There we go. Okay. I went to a small, close-knit college where not much exciting happened until the footlicker came into town.
Dude. This is like a serious body parts episode.
It is. The title is Rogue Foot Licker on Campus. What you need to understand is that one of the dorms consists of clusters of dorm rooms that all share a living room. The rooms themselves lock, but the door to the living room does not. Trust me, this is important. So, one night, a girl was sleeping on the couch in one of the living rooms, and she woke up to a man she didn't know licking her feet. She obviously freaked the fuck out, and her friends came and chased him away, but the dude came back and was looking at her through the window. This happened after the outer doors to the building had been locked for the night, so to have access, he either knows someone who lived there or lived there himself. It's a small campus, so you would think that someone would know who he was, but no witnesses recognized him. We all woke up the next morning to an email warning us that a footlicker was loose on campus and to be on the lookout, but he was never apprehended. It's been 6 years and the footlicker has passed into campus legend, along with the one-armed Amish man who they say used to wander around campus. Stay sexy and wear socks if you sleep on the couch, Kelly.
Oh, man.
Who the one-time footlicker?
Yeah, that's... But also, that's so bold. Like, your crime is... it's such a high risk crime.
And like you got chased off and you came back.
You came back. So you're, there's something going on.
Yeah. You're also, really drunk. He put on a fucking drunk clinic right that's, there.
For real. I would hope that he's just like, you know what? I got to go for it.
Yeah.
I just got to express myself. Do you think the one-armed Amish man lost it in Japan? I'm just saying this could be the button.
Oh my God.
This could be what we're looking for.
It all fucking wraps together.
I start like getting red string and fucking.
Dude. What do Amish gloves look like?
What do Amish gloves look like?
What do exactly? Amish gloves look like? They go all the way to the fucking elbow.
They go to the wrist, but then there's a beard from the wrist to the elbow. Because they're Amish. Good night, everybody.
Send your weird shit to my favorite murder.
If you have
a Gmail. Name some new shit.
If you have a Gmail, is that what you said?
No, I said a Gmail. But if you have a Gmail.
No, I was going to say, if you have found a person in a place where they don't belong, we would love to hear that story.
100%.
Right?
Yes. Yeah.
That could be the new fold in.
That's the new one. Every week we add a new fucking weird element.
And also, let's bring those money piles forward, everybody.
Money piles, fucking appendages that don't belong where they found. Any kind of body or body part in a place that doesn't belong.
There's a place in Canada. I know we're going to get a ton of like messages about this, but there's a certain bay in Canada where they body parts keep showing up.
Right. Shoes with feet in them.
It's like shoes with feet and nothing else. But I think they've disproved that it's anything like
there's theories, but
crime based.
Yeah.
But it's basically, it's like drowning victims that get eaten entirely by most animals.
Oh man, we were going to end on such a high note. No, it's such a bummer.
Well, this is a bummer based podcast.
It's
so
true. It's not called my favorite happy stuff.
My favorite best memory. This is my favorite story about a girl that got her foot licked and then the guy came back and stared at her through a window.
While a fucking Amish guy with a Japanese missing arm was walking around.
Get out of here with your email.
Why are you listening if you fucking don't want this?
Stay sexy.
And don't get murdered.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Hey, Elvis. Want a cookie?
Ah, oh, yes. He's waiting.
Ooh, he just almost fell off the couch.
Oh,
good boy.
He's like, don't make fun of me.